The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I don't think the government has any business telling people what they can and cannot do with their body. I'm not going to be in a position, allow myself into a position where I'm going to be telling a woman to bring a child to term that she doesn't want. I don't think it's a good solution. I think every abortion is a tragedy. But I don't think the government, I think the worst solution is that the government is involved in decisions that should be belong to a woman.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, he's right about one thing. That was RFK, of course, running for the presidency. You know, abortion is a tragedy. It is horrific. But I marvel, and it's not just him, Joe Biden, even President Trump in some respects, this disconnect. You know, where you can draw a line for Trump, it's now, it's up to the states, or it's 15 weeks, or, you know, it's just Joe Biden, of course, rapidly pro-death. You know, gosh, these are our leaders. These are your choices. You know, the media has been covering the legal travails right now of President Trump, and they're trying to play up the alleged accomplishments of President Joe Biden. And they're studiously, if you will, ignoring the campaign of a man with one of the most famous political names in American history. You probably don't know. I said to my wife the other day, I'm talking about Robert F. Kennedy. I said, if Robert F. Kennedy had more airtime, I mean, Trump gets it because he's in court. Biden gets it because he's traveling on Air Force One and he's campaigning. RFK's not getting any coverage. I bet a lot more people would be kind of thinking, who is this guy and what's it mean? RFK was originally running as a Democrat. He is, you know, he's one of the most famous, that family's one of the most famous Democrats in U.S. history. He was a primary challenger to Biden, but then Biden wouldn't debate him. He wouldn't let his name appear on any Democratic primary ballot across the country. How's that for democracy, right? How is that for democracy? It's crazy. You know, who's the greatest threat to democracy? Right? I think the Dems are themselves. So, you know, it's a tough road to hoe, if you will, because you've got to gather enough signatures in each state in order to get on the ballot. And just last week, RFK made it onto Michigan and Hawaii's ballots. But Michigan is important because it is a swing state and an independent bid can impact votes. So who will it impact? Will it impact the president? You know, will it impact Biden or will it impact Trump or both? You know, RFK is the son of the fallen Robert F. Kennedy, and he claims that his campaign has the momentum to get on every ballot in the union by November. We'll see if that happens and how it shakes out. But I think the Dems are terrified of this. I think the Biden campaign is as well. If it happens, it's going to mean for this year election right now, who knows? I mean, I don't, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, the election's still a good distance away, but right now the polls are showing that Trump and President Joe Biden are running neck and neck with Trump just slightly ahead. But if you throw in Kennedy and you throw in other independents into the mix, you know what happens? Former President Trump's lead begins to widen, not by much, but just enough that if things stay the way they are right now, he probably got another win. Of course, we're a little more than 6 months away. Like I said, that's still an eternity when it comes to politics. You know, election day, 6 months out. So there's all kinds of uproar right now around the country and around the world. One final note, Dr. Paul Kengor, who wrote a great piece, and you can read it at the American Spectators, what motivated me to invite him on today. It's called RFK Jr., Biden and the Democrats' Ongoing Nightmare. And he took an in-depth look at this. I think you're going to appreciate the conversation. You can sound off as well. Let me share one final side note here. The Arizona House, they just voted to repeal its 1864 law prohibiting abortion. So several Supreme Court cases, including one involving Trump, they're going to be controversial. So you've got the college campuses right now becoming anti-Semitic. We talked about that earlier. The Israeli Gaza war threatens maybe to get bigger. China's breathing down Taiwan's neck. That could suck us into a conflict. Ukraine is still trying to, you know, take back its own land from Russia and get them kicked out of their territory. And if, you know, Russia was to go in and take over Ukraine, would it stop at Ukraine? Poland's concerned, and Russia could threaten to encompass Europe. So the next 4 years could be very trying times for the next president. And all of those issues also can impact voters come November 5th. I'm joined right now by Dr. Paul Kengor. We'll talk to him about it. You're more than welcome to join us at 888-914-9149. Dr. Kengor, his latest book is The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church and Slavery. He's written a number of them on Ronald Reagan. He's coming out with a new one on the stigmata, and it's a great read. I'm telling you, we'll be talking about that in the future, so keep an eye out for that. But he joins us today. As I said, he writes for The Spectator, and this most recent piece is well worth a read. Doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Drew. How's it going?
I mean, it's going pretty well. A lot to talk about today. So yeah. Many different areas we can go into. First of all, congratulations on your piece. I've been following the RFK campaign, and he's not getting a whole lot of airtime. But I know you dove into who he is and how this may impact things. Let's talk a little bit about him. RFK Jr. is derided in the mainstream by the mainstream press as a vaccine denier. And they point out that even his own family doesn't seem to like him. You saw how many of the Kennedys endorsed Biden, right? Are voters gravitating towards him? How's his message resounding? And, do you think he's any threat at all?
Well, for a third party candidate, Drew, he's doing really well. I mean, look, there's no way he's going to win the presidency outright, but he's going to cause some damage. And I mean, he is really, I think, almost certainly going to be the most effective third party candidate since Ross Perot. That was in 1992. And we know what happened there, right? Ross Perot got almost 20% of the vote. And in inserting himself into the race as a third party candidate, he had the effect of the incumbent President George H.W. Bush losing. In fact, if it wasn't for, little H. Ross Perot, squawking about, the deficit, right? No one would have ever heard of Hillary Clinton because Bill Clinton wouldn't have won in 92. This is an amazing statistics. In 1991, George H.W. Bush was about 90% approval in the polls after the Gulf War. By November 1992, he gets only 36% of the vote. All right. And Clinton got, I think, 43. Perot got like 20, 21, something like that. So that was enough to elect Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the only president to get two terms in maybe presidential history, I'd have to look it up, but without ever getting over 50% of the vote. He didn't get over 50 in 92. He didn't get over 50 in 1996. So now here comes RFK Jr. And I'll give you one sample, and that's what compelled me to write about this. So I got a press release in my email box last week from the Kennedy campaign. And this would be my email box for the American Spectator. They send me this stuff as the editor of the American Spectator. And it said that Kennedy had gotten on the ballot in the state of Michigan. Now, the key for Kennedy here, Drew, is whether or not he can get on the ballot from state to state. So he got on in Michigan. Listen to these numbers. When they did a three-way race, New York Times, Siena poll, a few months ago, of battleground states, including Michigan, RFK Jr. got 26% and Biden got 31 in the state of Michigan. So that's really quite remarkable. And Donald Trump got 34. Now, I'll say from the outset here, there's a lot of debate. I'm getting it now in response to people emailing me about this article about whether or not Kennedy would take more votes from Trump or from Biden. From what I can tell, and this changes from poll to poll, but almost consistently in most polls, he takes just a little bit more away from Biden. And if you have any question about this, just ask the Kennedy campaign. Biden and the Democrats are losing their minds. They're running around all the time. Democracy, democracy, democracy. They are hell-bent on trying to keep RFK Jr. off as many ballots in as many states as possible. The Trump people aren't doing that. It's the Biden people that are doing it. So the Biden people, I think, know that he takes more votes away from Biden than he does from Donald Trump. So this could be – he could really play spoiler here. If the distance – right now, Real Clear Politics has Trump leading Biden, I think, 0.2, 0.3. I mean, it's almost a dead heat. But when you add Kennedy in the race, Trump's lead becomes 1 point. And I've said all along, Drew, I think Trump could lose the popular vote by 2 percentage points and still win the Electoral College. If Kennedy coming in allows Trump to win the overall popular vote by 1%, then Trump is going to crush Biden in the Electoral College. So Biden and the Democrats are doing everything they can to keep RFK Jr. off the ballot.
So if they can't keep him off, let's say he does get onto all 50 ballots, what do you think? You think that Biden has lost this election and Trump is reelected? What do you think he'll do towards the end? He's going to run the entire race? Unlikely he's going to win. Does he have the money for a campaign like that?
Well, so I emailed the Kennedy campaign and also RFK Jr. himself, because I actually have his email address. And I got to tell you, I've never met a candidate that is this gracious with his time and seems to be, I don't know, awake 24/7. I don't know, but he responds to emails from me. I'm not a friend of his. I have never met him in person. I'm not supporting him for president, especially because of his abortion position. But I interviewed him back in October when the issue was the Biden administration refusing to provide him with Secret Service protection. We can talk more about that in a few minutes.
Sure.
But I asked him about this Michigan thing. I said, hey, this is a big deal. And he said, it is. And we think Hawaii is next. We're also going to get on the ballot, we think, in the next few weeks in Nevada, New Hampshire, and North Carolina. And all of that could potentially put those states into the Trump column. And then he gave me this quote, which I think is really remarkable, Drew. So RFK Jr. said this, quote, we will be announcing 1 to 2 states each week from here until we qualify for all 50 states and the District of Columbia in July. So if they actually think, and I think this is quite possible, that they can get on all 50 state ballots between now and July, the Biden people are going to be losing their minds. That's their worst nightmare.
Wow. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor. If you want to join us, the number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I don't know whether you are an RFK fan. If you're rooting for him, feel free to sound off. No, we've got the Solidarity Movement that's out there too, the American Solidarity Movement. There are others that are also running, but seems like he can be a spoiler here. RFK chose a running mate too, and Nicole Shanahan. She was a largely unknown doctor from Silicon Valley. She's a millionaireess, I believe. But where would she make her money? Was it Google, or where was her money out of?
Something. I think Silicon Valley, big tech. And when he picked her,
did that help?
I mean, many of us were like, "Who's this? Yeah, why did he do that?" I mean, he was talking about someone like Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura. I knew it would be Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be playing quarterback.
Yeah, right.
He's got more important things to do, right? At the fall of 2024. But with Shanahan, when you stop and think about it a little bit, she has a lot of money, which is what he needs. And she also has a lot of kind of cachet, not just cash, but cachet with the kind of ideological left. So when he picked her, I think that really set off the antenna of Biden and the Democrats, because they thought, oh, man, he went and picked a liberal. Had he picked somebody who was more of a moderate, even conservative, then he might have taken more people, more votes from Donald Trump. But by picking Nicole Shanahan, the Biden people knew he's going to be plucking more votes away from Biden and the Democrats. And by the way, Biden and the Democrats, they have a lot to blame for this, because they've angered RFK Jr. by refusing to provide him with Secret Service protection.
It's terrible.
And that is outrageous. The guy has had several threats to his life. The law that allows for candidates to have Secret Service protection was created because of the assassination of RFK Jr.'s father, Bobby Kennedy, in June 1968. And Biden and the Biden team are not providing him with Secret Service protection. If that was Donald Trump doing that, the liberal media right now would be saying, well, Trump wants him assassinated, right? But Biden is refusing to provide him Secret Service protection. Could that be more outrageous and egregious. And I think for RFK Jr., he's responded to that by saying, all right, you're not going to provide me with that. I'm going to double down. I'm running against you as an independent third party candidate.
And his message is an interesting one. We'll grab a couple of calls here in just a second. I just want to get to this point. I think you might highlight it in your article. He's not just another candidate. I mean, he's a very formidable challenger who believes in making America affordable again. That's a message that's definitely going to resonate with the voting base. He wants to revive the industrial base, and he wants to make sure that the next generation can own their homes. And, you know, he's got a lot of things that kind of resonate with some Trump voters as well, and certainly right. not with Joe Biden and his green platform.
He gave me a great quote. He said, quote, "The DNC is treating me as if I'm President Biden's big challenge," right? And he said, but Biden's real challenge is $4 a gallon milk, $4 gasoline, $6 a loaf of bread. Wow. And the fact that generation of American kids are never going to own their own home. By the way, liberals who also don't like RFK Jr. challenging Biden, you shouldn't be calling RFK Jr. an anti-vax conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Okay. You know, that hasn't helped either. And, you know, just because he opposed your sacred clot shot that you tried to make everybody in America take, even those of us with natural immunity, and you ridiculed even the idea of natural immunity, and you've called him a conspiracy theorist and a wacko and everything else. You guys created this. You did this. And one other thing, the Kennedy people pointed out to me that in a Quinnipiac poll, right now, Kennedy is leading Biden and Trump both among voters under the age of 35 and among independents. And also, he's getting a very significant amount of the Latino vote as well.
Yeah.
And in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to somebody from a national Hispanic polling group who told me he thinks Donald Trump could get anywhere from 30 to 40% of the Latino vote.
Wow.
If Trump gets that, and if RFK gets another 30%, and Biden ends up losing that vote outright, then Biden is toast.
Yeah, Biden will still get a lot of the black vote, but Trump's getting some black voters. I've seen a lot of reporting on that. A lot of people are saying, you know what, I voted for him in the past, but man, the economy, things were better 4 years ago. But to your point, and let's talk to some listeners, Kennedy's platform is resonating with these younger voters and independents. And demographically, those are notoriously hard to pin down. And, you know, Latinos, you know, if they go Trump's way or they go his way, as you point out, Biden is in trouble. Michael's in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Michael. Michael, go right ahead.
So, hold on. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I mean, other than, like you said, the abortion stance, I do think he does stand a decent chance. I mean, people say he's just going to, you know, give the election to Trump. But Biden, you know, being a Catholic and being in his abortion stance as well, I think part of the that he's going to have a good chance is his own family is not even going to endorse him. So, I don't know. I just think there's more than meets the eye to this guy, and there's plenty of time before the election. And I mean, I'm a Catholic, and you know, I almost always vote part, you know, for life and everything, and I want to. But you know, this election, I don't really want to see either of them. So I'm putting my vote. You know, people say it's a waste of vote, but I never think a vote's wasted towards RFK.
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
Hey, Michael, thank you very much. Doctor, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, so he's not pro-life on the abortion issue, but if you were a Catholic Democrat or a Catholic that doesn't like Donald Trump, who's not Republican, and you were trying to choose between RFK Jr. and Joe Biden, I mean, you probably pick RFK Jr., right? I guess it depends where you are in the abortion issue. Right. I mean, if you're like a, you know, wildly pro-choice Catholic, then maybe Biden's your guy, right? But maybe if you're a bit more moderate on those issues and you're kind of a traditional Democrat, you don't like Trump, You know, you're I guess more moderate on abortion. Then you might pick RFK, and of course he comes from the Kennedy family, right? Our first Catholic president was JFK, his uncle. And it is kind of odd that he would be doing so well among the youth vote. I don't have it in front of me, but how old is he? He is he's 70 years old.
Wow!
And yeah, exactly.
Great shape.
Right?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, exactly. And so he's basically looks like the child of Joe Biden.
That's so funny.
But he's not that much younger than Biden. So here again, you have this crazy situation where Trump, Biden, and RFK Jr. all 70, age 70 or plus, and yet RFK Jr. is like the youth vote, almost like his dad in 1968. I mean, what was his dad in 1968? Probably about 40 years old. His uncle was in his early 40s when at the time that he was assassinated in 1963. But he looks youthful, and he definitely appeals to the younger people. Maybe part of this too, Drew, is that a lot of the younger people who didn't like to be told by their colleges that they had to take the mandatory vax, maybe that's a big attraction for them to go to RFK Jr.
Yeah, his father was 42 when he actually died. Mm. Francis is in Tampa, Florida. Francis, good afternoon. Hey, Francis.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just wondering if what the doctor's thoughts are about the possibility of the DNC removing Joe Biden from the ticket prior to their convention and replacing him with Gavin Newsom, because it appears that they're grooming him for something big.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And if they had any indication at all from Joe Biden that he wasn't planning on running again, which they don't, because Biden has really clearly said that he is running again, I think they'd go to Newsom right away. And a more interesting possibility, would they be willing to dump Kamala Harris and put Gavin Newsom in as VP? Because, I mean, here's what really ought to stand out to everybody. If Joe Biden gets reelected, yep, he's not going to finish 4 years.
No.
I mean, the man would be what, 86, 87? By the time that he would be finished, and what would that be? 2028, 2029, I guess, January 2029, mm-hmm. which means that if you vote for the Biden-Harris ticket in November 2024, you're casting a vote for Kamala Harris to be president of the United States.
Yeah, I think you have a lot to think about. You certainly
right.
do. And when it comes to life, I mean, every candidate here is flawed. You know, I think Trump perhaps is the least, does the least damage.
Abortion,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean,
right.
President Biden is rapidly abortion than RFK. And I know that's a big issue for a lot of people. But, Doctor, let me do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll grab a few more calls here. And you can sound off. The number's 888-914-9149. I don't know if you had heard what President Biden did. He made the sign of the cross in response to a pro-abortion comment made by a Democrat who was standing next to the president. I'll share those comments with you when we come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about RFK, and we'll take your calls. 888-914-9149. Our conversation will continue right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show is live now. The Drew Mariani Show, here for you on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
My congressional Republican friends are going even further. Further extremes undermine a woman's right to threaten and threatening the lives of women. These extreme laws have no place in the United States of America. You know, the American people know these laws are wrong. Our message is we're fighting hard to reinstate your rights and the rights to protect women and families and doctors who care for those women. And we need the American people to keep making their voices heard. So congressional Republicans finally get the message. these laws do not represent the United States of America.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
What a sellout. Yeah, this guy should be excommunicated. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just going to call it as a Catholic. I mean, you can vote any way you want. As I said, all three candidates have their perspective on life wrong. I know a lot of Trumpians out there are going to be mad at me for saying that, but I can't draw a line. I can't say 15 weeks. I can't say 6 weeks. That child has an inalienable right to life and to liberty, just as you do. And we can't arbitrarily, you know, say, oh, you know what? We're going to terminate. But President Biden, of all people, is a Catholic, right? He is a Roman Catholic. You know what nauseated me? I saw a story where he made the sign of the cross in response to some pro-abortion comments were made by Democrat Nikki Fried, who was standing next to the president. And the gesture came while the president was listening to the Florida Democratic Party chairwoman slam her state's pro-life laws. I don't think you can be a Democrat and be pro-life. It's impossible. And she said this, I'll quote. She says, then when we came back here to the state of Florida, Biden and the two Democrats were in the backdrop here, right? She says, where 15 weeks wasn't good enough, they had to go to 6 weeks, referring to what DeSantis did, to the gestational limit that the state of Florida had put in. As soon as she said it wasn't good enough, Biden made this very slow sign of the cross, you know? And, you know, that's a Catholic symbol. We know that gesture. And I think it's just a disgrace. You heard the audio that was played. You heard, this man claiming that he's going to throw the force of the federal government behind this. You know, bring me the legislation. I'll make grow the law of the land. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Do we have a better choice? RFK, he's pro-choice too. He still recognizes abortion as a wrong. At least he says that. You know, and Trump was the most pro-life president we've ever had. But you know, what do you do in a situation like that? Doctor, you're a Catholic too. I mean, what do you make of Joe Biden professing his Catholicism? And I know some bishops have gotten in trouble recently and, you know, saying some things about him. His own, you know, bishops called him cafeteria Catholic. And I just think the guy should be, I think he should personally be excommunicated. This guy is bringing so much scandal to the church and he's doing so much to the innocent. It's so wrong. But give me your take on Joe Biden and how he wears the cloak of Catholicism.
Yeah, and even Bishop Wilton Gregory, who's known to be, you know, kind of liberal, right? And he called him out for what he called cafeteria Catholicism. Yeah. And even that audio clip that you played there a couple minutes ago, it's really egregious. I mean, Biden's talking about...
Doctor, hold your thought for 1 second, if you could. Maggie, if we could just put him on hold for a quick second and bring him back, and we might clear up. We have some static, some issue with you. Let me try you again. Go right ahead, Doctor. Pick it up where you left off.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, that's 100%
better.
Is that better? Great. Okay. Hear you now.
Yeah, yeah. And that audio clip from Biden, it's just so egregious that he's talking about protecting basically everybody there except for the unborn child, yeah. Right? I got to check. We're going to protect the mother. We're going to protect the health care provider. Abortionists, right? We're going to provide, or protect the nurse. And so we're going to protect everybody and everybody's rights except the rights of the unborn child. Once upon a time, here in my class at Grove City College today, Drew, I teach a course on conservatism, and I was teaching my students about Henry Hyde, Congressman Henry Hyde. And I said, this is the author of the Hyde Amendment. Does anybody know what that is? Right. And we talked about how it protected the right of American citizens, taxpayers, not to have to fund abortion. Because it's something that they felt their taxpayer dollars shouldn't support the taking of an unborn life. You should have a religious exemption for that. Joe Biden supported that from about 1977 to about 2019. He even flipped on that. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. RFK Jr. probably would have supported the Hyde Amendment. I don't know. Somebody should ask him. But Biden, there's no longer anywhere at all on the abortion issue where somebody who's a pro-life Catholic could say, well, you know, at least he supports the Hyde Amendment, right? There's nothing like that. I mean, he has just been abominable on the abortion issue, on the pro-life issue.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's go back to the phones. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Charles is in Marble Falls, Texas. Hi, Charles.
Hello, how are you?
We're great. Go right ahead. Good to have you here.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment on your discussion about RFK Jr. And I'm going to preface it. I'm going to vote for Trump regardless. But if you're asking my opinion, RFK is an old school Democrat, like his uncle, like Truman, like maybe even Bill Clinton, arguably, maybe Jimmy Carter. They actually cared about our country. Yeah. And with Obama and with especially with Biden, it just feels like they don't care about our country and they want us to be weak. And, you know, I don't even know if the abortion issue matters that much because we're not going to be having kids if we have four more years of President Biden. So I would implore any of my fellow Americans out there that that aren't going to vote for Trump, I think voting for RFK would be a very, very good idea. And I'm not just saying that to try to win. I just we can't take four more years of Biden. I don't see how we get there with Biden.
All right. Thanks. Dr. Lee, respond.
Well, it's a good description of RFK Jr. being, an old school Democrat, right? Yeah. That's quite right. And also, like his father, Bobby Kennedy, he's very independent minded and people appreciate that. I think what has really just shocked everybody about Joe Biden is that he seems to just be kind of going along with whatever the far left is doing, right? Easter Sunday, hey, it's transgender visibility day, right? And it's like, where's Biden coming up with this? It looks like pretty much whatever they drop in front of him or put in front of him in a teleprompter that the far left people around him want to do, he's doing it. And some people might say, well, yes, he's really declined since he became president at the age. But even he flipped on the Hyde Amendment in the summer of 2019. I think it was in Atlanta that he did that. Yeah. And he did that because Kamala and Elizabeth Warren is up there sobbing, right? I can't believe it. They want to draw a bullseye on women's back. These supporters of the Hyde Amendment. Oh, and you would think that Biden, who once used to be known as a kind of moderate Democrat, would have shown some spine, some independence, and said, look, I'm sorry, but you might disagree with me on this. I'm pro-choice, too. But I do support the Hyde Amendment. I've supported it for over 40 years. Yeah. But no, he just kind of blows along with the wind. Now RFK Jr. seems not to do that. Willing to fight the vax and COVID masking and all these other things. So that resonates with a lot of people, and it definitely makes him more like an old school Democrat, yeah, like the caller said, and very much different from Joe Biden.
You mentioned the teleprompters, Dr. Kengor, and I have this piece of audio from today. I guess Biden was giving a speech and just totally pulled a Ron Burgundy, like just read the teleprompter instruction to pause. And then I think these people that join in and start chanting are totally paid off because it just doesn't see. It's like
they usually are such
a flop. Yeah. Here it is.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years, pause.
Four more years, pause. Four more years,
pause. Oh,
my gosh. Did you explain that, Maggie, for those who may not have got that chance?
So he's reading the teleprompter, and he's advocating for four more years of his presidency, and then he's supposed to pause so that they can start chanting because the teleprompter says
pause.
Like in quotation or, in parentheses, pause, and he reads the pause.
Wow,
unbelievable. Yeah. In all seriousness, those are usually public sector union people who are paid to go to those rallies. And I've met them. I've seen them for years. I've known about them going back to my time in Washington 30 years ago. And on cue, they're just going to start chanting four more years and clapping no matter what Biden says, even if he misstates it.
All right, we'll take a few more calls. The number here to get in, 888-914-9149. John's in Sussex, Wisconsin. Doctor, hi, John. You're on the air with Dr. Kengor.
Yes, I just say that that Joe Biden calls himself Catholic like he calls himself a university professor. He is married to Bill Stevenson's wife. Jill Stevenson was married. Mm-hmm. A Catholic cannot marry another a divorced person. And also, when they were married in a United Nations chapel, just as Biden's sister Valerie was. So some clergy, some bishop somewhere should be standing up and saying,
this guy is not living the faith. And for him to make a sign of the cross about abortion, as you pray, so you believe. And so it shows he doesn't really believe the faith. He just uses it to try to fool Catholic voters.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, John. I mean, I get so disheartened when I see the, you know, Biden's vocal support for a constitutional amendment in Florida that would enshrine the right to abortion up to the point of fetal viability around 24 weeks and beyond in some interpretations. That's sinister. And we need to pray for our bishops. We need to pray for Joe Biden. I hope somebody does call him out. I think we need to speak truth to this man. He is our brother, right? Joe Biden's our brother in Christ. You may not agree with his politics, but eternity's a long time. And the salvation of one soul hangs in the balance. So I believe it or not, I pray for the president every day. And I would invite you all to do the same thing. James in Covina, good afternoon. You are on the air with Dr. Kengor.
Yes, you know, one of the things we need to realize is that it's not only abortion's evil, but, you know, it's the way these babies are killed in a horrific way, the pains that they feel. Jonathan Lavatino has a video or has a presentation, the gruesome way these babies die. And that makes me think now, I was going to vote for Trump, but, you know, now they're saying 5 weeks, 6 weeks. At 5 weeks, that baby feels pain. So, you know what, in good conscience, I can't vote for anybody. I really feel distraught. This is a human being, but we talk the word abortion. Yeah. If they've seen a video, the way babies are killed, maybe people would change their mind. This is gruesome. And I think because of that, and the last thing I'll say is because of that, I think God is going to punish this nation. And I think we're seeing it now already, what's happening. It's a punishment on us as a nation for what we're allowing to happen to these innocent babies.
You know, it's funny, Doctor, and we can talk about this. James, thank you for that call. Our Lady in Fatima told the seers there, you know, when that apparition began, it was 1917. World War I was raging. Two loomed in the future. But she said that war was a punishment for sin. And I look at our country and the things that we're doing here. I pray for God's mercy over our country all the time. Faustina did the same thing. She prayed for Poland a lot. She died before, you know, Hitler went into Poland. But I think we need to pray for our country. I think he brought up some good points. I'll let you respond to him as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are such things as chastisements, right? There's no question about that. And, you know, are we due for a sort of reckoning? It's quite possible. And by the way, I would say too, Drew, the previous caller mentioning Biden's wedding as a Catholic, I would point out that Biden officiated a gay wedding. He married, was the marrier of two homosexuals. And again, they're a Catholic who's doing that. So the things that he's gotten away with, as a Catholic president, and for people listening, who have certain issues with Donald Trump, you know, remember Donald Trump's not Catholic,
all right?
Yeah,
right, exactly.
To have a Catholic president doing this stuff is just really especially appalling for us as Catholics.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, by the way, Dr. Paul Kengor is the guest. He wrote an article called RFK Jr. Biden. Biden's and the Democrats' ongoing nightmare. We're talking about the third party candidate right now. And this conversation has also gone into the life issue. It seems to come up anytime we talk about the current political arena. And it's unfortunate. I'd love to just debate issues and not have to always talk about something as obviously intrinsically disordered and evil as abortion.
Hey, that's not our fault, man.
I know. It's so frustrating to me. But let me go to Matthew. He's got a question for you, or at least a comment about RFK's VP pick. Matthew, good afternoon. Thanks for calling from Monticello, Minnesota.
Good afternoon. It's actually Monticello.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Sure thing. I don't know if anyone's commented on this yet on your program. I just tuned in. But Nicole Shanahan, the vice presidential pick for Kennedy, is actually, it's a big issue to her that she's against in vitro fertilization. Mm. Now, she doesn't want to outlaw it, but she thinks it's a big scam and makes a big deal about it. She spent a huge amount of money on, you can look it up on research right, to try to help women's fertility naturally. And I saw an article in the National Catholic Register saying that IVF results in almost twice as many deaths of innocent human lives every year in comparison with abortion. And I think that, in my opinion, RFK Jr., he also, just his campaign as a whole with Shanahan as his vice president, at least on the cultural side of it, being against IVF here and trying to promote that, which no one talks against. No one's against IVF ever. Right. Even the pro-life Republicans or say they're pro-life won't be against
that. True.
And then lastly, just RFK in general. I think he's, you saw, I just put up on his website a few days ago. He claims he's going to drastically reduce abortions. I know he doesn't want to outlaw it, but at least he's going to try it with his other policies. And I just think that should be taken into account.
Hey, great call, Matthew. Dr. Light, respond.
Well, that's fascinating. If that's accurate about Nicole Shanahan on IVF, I don't know that. And I'm going to look that up. That would be, the caller makes a great point. There are a lot of pro-life Republicans, pro-life on the abortion issue, who are all for IVF. I think Donald Trump's for it too, I believe. I think. Yeah, and a lot of I'll try to be charitable to some of my fellow pro-life Republicans. I've listened to some of their comments on it. I think, frankly, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
I teach at a largely Protestant college, which is very pro-life, very conservative, and I've had to kind of educate students on the issue who don't know what IVF is, right? Yeah. I've had to say to them, do you know what they do with all those extra embryos?
Yeah.
No. What do they do? When you tell them, they're like, really? It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm against that. So a lot of people just don't know. But kudos to her if that's her position. I'm going to take a look.
Yeah, I think at after President Biden's State of the Union address, was it the senator from Alabama? I forget who gave the rebuttal to that. Ended up talking about IVF, you know, and
right.
You got a lot of Republicans. A lot of people are confused about in vitro fertilization because things, hey, we're open to life and this is about life. But there's a lot, and I've done several shows on it. You can always go to the archives if you want to say, hey, why is the church, what's that teach on this? Type in IVF, go to my podcast, and you'll see several issues. There are a number of reasons why IVF, in vitro fertilization, is considered wrong by the Catholic Church. I have to take a break. Unfortunately, time is always my enemy. Final segment coming up with Dr. Paul Kangor. Feel free to join us. I'll do my best to get you on. I'll be right back.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thank you to our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers. UD's graduate degrees in education, business, and humanities can help you seek wisdom, live abundantly, and pursue your calling. To learn more, go to relevantradio.com/UDallas.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you're right about. Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women, but they found out.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I have one four-letter word for that comment. Vile. V-I-L-E, right? I mean, here's the president expressing outrage. I'm outraged by a self-professed Catholic saying such things. It's horrible. Please pray. Pray for the president. We need to pray for him in a big time way. Pray for all of our leaders. We will reap what we sow. Who you vote for, who you put into office, you reap that. So I'm here just to take a look at the big picture here. We're joined by Dr. Paul Kangor right now. Wrote a great piece on RFK. You can check that out at the American Spectator. And I don't know whether Maggie has it up on our social media sites, but you can check out our platforms here too. And quite often we link over to that or they're in our show notes. Doctor, I look at poll numbers. I mean, you know, it seems that President Trump is beating Biden with all these indictments and all the stuff that he's going through. Where is President Biden right now in terms of his poll numbers and his approval rating just in general?
Well, he's historically quite low. So his approval is about 40-41%. I think the last number I saw was 40.7. And to compare that to where Donald Trump was at that point in Trump's presidency about 4 years in, Trump was about 45.7. So Trump was 5 points higher. Obama, I think, was about 46, 47. George W. Bush was about 48, 49. And, of course, Bush got reelected. Obama got reelected. And Trump did not, even with 45.7. So for Biden to be at like 40,
going into a reelection, Drew, he's in big trouble, really big trouble. And so once again, if somebody like a third party person could come in and take an even bigger chunk of Biden's votes than from Trump, Biden's going to need to scrape and scratch for every percentage point that he can get. And in almost every battleground state, including even Michigan right now, Biden's down in almost every single one of them. I think Real Clear right now, Real Clear Politics, has Trump at about 290 electoral college votes, maybe close to about 300, Biden around 240. So if he loses again that popular vote outright, even by 0.2%, he's going to get crushed in the electoral college. If the vote were today, by the way, assuming that you have secure ballots, yeah, and right, not massive mail-in voting and other things like that, this would be a Trump win.
Wow. All right. The phones are super busy here, Doctor. We have a few minutes. We'll grab a few more calls. Chicago is on deck. Maria, thanks for dialing in. You're on the air with Dr. Kingor.
Yes. Hi. I just was wanting to comment. I think as Catholics, it's easy for us to laugh about these things, or non-Catholics. But I think we have to realize that we need to be more humble in these situations and understand this is a laughing stock for our whole world. And instead, we need to invoke the saints and pray more and recognize the sin that's happening, yeah, that we deserve.
Amen.
As humans, for just, right, the abortion, pornography, whatever, and to just to continue to pray and focus on that.
Yeah, good for you, Maria.
The devil is a deceiver and he's a liar.
Yeah,
and when we focus on this, we're distracted.
All right, Maria, thank you so much. Doctor, I'll let you respond. I agree with her, though. Kind of re-echoes what I said, too. I think we certainly need to pray. We get fired up on politics, right, and where the country's heading. But boy, this is really also about eternity for a lot of souls, and also, yeah, for the unborn.
Well, that's right. That's right. And it's tough for me living in a largely Protestant community where I have so many of my Protestant friends all the time just looking at me and saying, explain this to me as a Catholic, right? Why? What's your church doing, right? Why is the Pope not excommunicating, right, this, right, guy? I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And then I kind of go, and so we're put on the defensive by it. I mean, this is, you know, this creates scandal in the church.
Yep.
And the rest of us in the flock, we have to try to explain it. It's sad. It really is.
Patricia in Youngstown, Ohio, across the border from Dr. Kingor. Good,
yeah,
to have you with
half
us.
Half hour from me. Right, right.
There you go. Patricia, go right ahead. All right, I'm going to put her back at queue, give her one more second. All right, Rocco is in Brooklyn, New York. Rocco, good afternoon.
Yes, hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can, yeah.
Hi, Rocco.
Ahead.
How you doing?
Yeah, great, great. Thank you. Thanks for talking about this. You know, I think the core issue for many voters comes down to the abortion issue. I know you guys have been talking about it. And the same-sex marriage issue. If you peel the onion down, those are the main core issues that will drive people to the voting booth. And if we're talking about, you know, first we have to talk about, you know, the unborn children, their souls, and the souls of the people who are involved in this. That. But if you talk about like trying to get more Republican voters out, I think the Republican Party, if they would just concentrate on getting people to change the hearts and minds of people toward this stuff, they would never lose another election. I can never vote for a Democrat if they support the killing of an unborn child. And there's three places out there that are trying to change the hearts and minds of people. Because if you get to the core of it, it has to be chastity. Chastity is the issue that drives abortions. And there's three groups out there that are trying to change the hearts and minds of people. Chastity.com is Jason Everett's group. TOBInstitute.org is Theology of the Body. That's Christopher West.
Right, right.
And Corazon Puro is Father Agostino's group. And if groups and change the hearts and minds of America toward this, Republicans will never lose another election.
Thanks, Rocco.
Yeah, you know, Drew, I think what's really sad in all of this, and I don't know if Rocco was making this point directly, but it makes me think of this, is that, you know, you just played the audio from Joe Biden about empowering women.
look, he's going to get the pro-choice vote no matter what. Imagine how much better he would do, I think, if he had a more moderate position on abortion. I think he'd because the pro-choicers are going to vote for him no matter what. They're not going to vote for Donald Trump. Imagine if he went back to supporting the Hyde Amendment mm-hmm. and took a bit of a more moderate position on abortion. I think he'd actually do a lot better. But he's been yanked so far to the radical left that he's convinced that he's got to double down and go even further in kind of the extremist, quote unquote, pro-choice position. And that's really unfortunate.
Well, doctor, I only have a minute left. So many people want to join you. My apologies, everyone on hold. Let me give you the final thought here as we are rapidly running out of time.
Well, I would say, you know, the theme here in the last half hour or so, pray, pray, and pray. We have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. You know, I don't know that's going to change Biden's mind, but, yep. You know, we still have to pray. Faith, hope, and charity.
Amen. Check out the American Spectator and Dr. Paul Kangor's piece. You can find it also on our social media platforms at Drew Mariani Show and on our Facebook as well. Until our paths again cross tomorrow, I'll be praying for you. May God bless you and may God bless our country.